Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's time for the VolQuest Mailbag Podcast, answering your questions from the General's quarters every week, right here on VolQuest.
Hey, good Thursday morning, everybody. Welcome into the VolQuest Mailbag Podcast with awesome prize front hubs, Rob Lewis. I am Eric Kane. A big thank you, as always, to our friends, Exterior Home Solutions. For a free estimate, pick up that phone and call them today at 865-524-5888. They've been local and trusted since 1999. Hit them up online as well at exteriorhomesolutions.com. Got a whole lot of questions to get into here over the next 30, 35 minutes. But first, wanted to make mention of Jalen Wright's combine, NFL combine experience. Brent Hubbs, I know you wrote about it Saturday afternoon. He had quite the day. One of the fastest guys at his position, obviously, not just this year, but in recent years. His broad jump was electric. His vertical was really good. Field work was good. No surprise that he ran a fast 40, but the overall day of work for Jalen Wright, Mel Kiper has him in the mix as his top running back, and the running back class a little bit down this year, but wouldn't surprise me whatsoever if he maybe moved into the second round after his combine day.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly helped himself, and it's no surprise, Austin. I mean, I go back to that rain workout in Durham, North Carolina, maybe the coldest June day we've ever experienced in North Carolina. And I mean, he was so fast then, and he loved training. You knew he was going to be ready for the combine. You knew he would be in top shape and would perform well. You take what he did at the combine, put it with the tape that he has in his career at Tennessee, particularly last year. I think somebody's going to fall in love with him. Now, he's not going to go in the first round, but late second, early third round pick. I think somebody's going to like him because of his versatility, power, strength, speed, all those things.
Well, and if teams do a real deep dive on him and realize that his sophomore and junior year, he split carries with like two other running backs. They didn't have a senior year because of COVID, and he split time here. Like, he's got a ton of tread on the tire.
Great point. He's not beat up.
He's got a ton of tread on the tires, and he's only getting better, right? I mean, every year he keeps getting better. Like, he's still, in a lot of ways, a guy who hasn't played a ton of football and will only get better. So, you know, I think the team that kind of does the deep dive and understands that, you know, this guy hasn't been beat up and taken 6 million carries is going to go, whoa.
Yeah, and AP, I applaud him and his family for, I mean, being smart about the draft process. I mean, you were talking about this last August, or like maybe even July, that he was going pro. And, you know, people would have been looking at his freshman and sophomore year stats and been like, what, really? You know, but that, I mean, the fact that they had this plan, and I think the fact that, you know, he has such, you know, little wear on the tires is going to make him more attractive as a draft prospect. But like I said, I think – you know, him and his family, you know, factored that into their decision last summer.
One thing about it, he went over 1,000 yards, didn't play the bowl game. Another game, he got, you know, concussed and, you know, basically played like, what, one series or whatever it was. I mean, and then he just split time. I mean, you know, the running back rotation, the way they had it done, you know, if he had really just kind of been given the ball. Now, you would, you know, Jerry Mack or whoever might argue, well, he wouldn't be him if we give him the ball every time. But the point is, had he been given the ball just a little bit more, what would he have run for? You know, and what if he had played the bowl game? What had he run for? You know, it would have been, you know, an even more special season. So, again, much like Darnell Wright a year ago, I knew that he was going to test super well. I never envisioned him, you know, broad jumping the way he broad jumped. But at the same time, you know, this kid has got a motor to him.
Yeah, I'll say this too, Eric. He loves ball. I mean, the guy loves ball. He loves to play. When he dedicated himself the way he should have last offseason heading into it, it's paid off big time for him, and he's going to have a chance to to get his name called earlier than I think anybody thought it would have been at any point in time during the season last year. Kudos to him. And good family, good people. You know, his dad, Curtis, great guy. Yep. And wish those guys nothing but the best. Jalen's been a pro and has handled himself really well from the moment he stepped foot on Tennessee's campus and prior to.
And if you want to know what Curtis Wright looks like, you just go Google Cedric the Entertainer, because that is what he looks like. I've always said he looks like that. He always laughs every time I call him Cedric the Entertainer. The guy, big personality. It's funny because the dad, Hubs, is so bubbly, outgoing. You know, Jalen's borderline a mute. Like, he doesn't do a whole lot of talking. He always looks like he's mad. And Jalen will tell you, I'm not mad. I just don't smile a whole lot. And and so, but like Curtis is like big personality. Like, I mean, when he walks in the room, buddy, it's like, whoa, you know.
So we'll continue to track his progress. Pro day coming up, 49 days until the NFL draft. And Jalen Wright certainly has put himself in really, really good position. So excited for him and his family after the NFL combine day. And he just blew it out of the water. Let's get into some of your questions here. We'll start with Corey Tinvall 17. Most fun moment for you guys as Tennessee media? Kind of open-ended there. Rob, you want to kick us off? The most fun moment for you guys as Tennessee media?
I don't know. I mean, covering the NCAA tournaments are always fun. I'll say that.
For me, it's traveling and seeing different parts of the country.
Does he mean moment like something you covered, or does he just mean what you enjoy about your job? I mean, the Hail Mary.
I don't know. Make it
the Hail Mary at Georgia was obviously a crazy moment.
You can close your mouth now, Hubs.
That's exactly right. The scene in Alabama, you know, when Tennessee wins at home, is something. I mean, I covered a national championship game. I mean, that moment, standing on the sideline, going, "Good, great, they're going to win the game. Like they're going to win the national championship," was kind of surreal to go through. Side note of that story that day is when John Ward told him they couldn't put up the black curtains for Al Gore to come in and shake his hand, so Al Gore doesn't make his way into the Tennessee press spot or into the Tennessee broadcast booth, because Ward didn't want to have black curtains up in the way. But that's a whole side note for a different deal. But I mean, you know, I think going back for me, covering the national championship season and the national championship game was just a crazy, surreal experience.
And for me, it's just getting to work alongside all you guys.
Oh, very nice. Well done. Well
done. It is true. I mean, like, I love people, man. I mean, I feel like we got a great team. I love everybody.
We enjoy having to throw those rose petals down at your feet before you walk into the complex.
Stop. I love most everybody on the general scores. Not everybody, but most everybody. You know, I just love fans in general. Getting to, as Eric said, getting to go different places is fun. It's why I'm such a strong advocate for home and homes. I hate these neutral site games. I wish Tennessee would get Wisconsin on the schedule or Boston College or something like that. It would be just fun to do. And, every day's a good day. Even the bad days are good days.
Thank you, Mr. Hallmark. I feel like I've just witnessed a promo for a Hallmark movie on the Hallmark Channel. That's fantastic.
I try to take what Brent Hubs does.
And do the opposite
from an outlook standpoint. Not human being. Nobody better than Brent Hubs as a human being. But his daily outlook right now, it doesn't matter if it's sunshine in Coryton.
Well, AP, it may rain today.
Oh, that's it. Hey, Hubs, you want to play golf? Well, there's a 10% chance of rain. Between 12 and 12, 17. Oh, we probably shouldn't.
Oh.
What's an underrated quality of the athletic department?
Rob, for me, it's the forward thinking that we're seeing with them right now on some things, big picture stuff. You know, when you talk about, kind of a vision and having a plan, maybe the most underrated thing right now is the fact that they're united with the other side of the street, like we haven't seen. You know, with what Chancellor Plowman has done, that's probably changed the trajectory of this athletic department more than anything. Just kind of where everybody is at, in alignment with each other. What are you laughing at?
Next.
AP sent his text a little early today.
Okay. We got to get there in a hurry. Time for AP.
All right. We're 10 minutes in and we're just goofing off. Let's go to Pine here. After left guard, biggest concern on the offense, I would just say getting the tight end position up and ready to go. You like your two options, but they're, you know, I mean, Davis has been here, but it's brand new. A lot of replacement there. So I'd say tight end.
I will go depth at running back. How deep is Tennessee? Like, I like Dylan Sampson. I like Cam Seldon. I don't think we know behind that. And really, we don't really have a big broad picture of Cam Seldon yet. Or for that matter, Dylan Sampson is the bell cow every week. I think it's just the running back. There's an unknown there. They could be totally fine, perfect. But there is an unknown there for me.
And I would just say, how far have we come, or how far is Tennessee coming, or Josh Heupel, that we're talking about left guard and running back depth being big concerns for this Tennessee football? I mean, we've come a long way, boys.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I'll tell you what, if Lance Hurd weren't here, then the worry would be a much different deal on the offensive line. But you believe he's just going to be a plug and play. For me, it's tight end. I'm with Eric. I just the importance of the tight end in this offense. I like Holden Stays. I like Ethan Davis. They both got to go out. They prove they can do it in this offense, you know, day in and day out. I don't think there was enough appreciation for the two tight ends that played last year.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, they're pretty daggone productive as well, with McCallum Castle having 5 touchdowns. But it's more than the stats on the stat sheet for that position. Vol in South Carolina has got a couple of questions. In your opinion, is Rick Barnes the greatest coach that we have ever had in men's basketball? Also, of all the current head coaches of the major sports you cover, which is one of your favorite to talk to? And then how big of a loss will Santi and Josiah Jordan-James be next season? A couple of questions here, Rob. Rick Barnes, greatest coach in Tennessee history, and then we'll go after that.
I mean, I wasn't around for Ray Maris on the day-to-day, but in 20-plus years of covering UT basketball, yeah, he's the greatest basketball coach, period. It's not close, because more than – and I will only say because being a head basketball coach at college university is more than – about more than 40 minutes of game time. So it's not close that he's Tennessee's greatest basketball coach. Not close.
We'll stay with you here. How big of a loss is Santi and Josiah Jordan-James next season?
I mean, it's going to be huge from a culture standpoint, but, I mean, you look at the numbers, it's not going to be huge from a production standpoint. Tennessee is going to lose two big-time leaders, two big-time guys in the locker room. But, you know, it's not going to be, you know, they're not program changing guys. I mean, they'll be replaceable. It's going to be a loss.
I think we would probably all kind of say the sport that we primarily cover, because we have more interaction with them. But Brent, you talk to all the coaches, you know, with Vol calls and everything pretty frequently. Which head coach is fun to talk to on a regular basis?
Well, story time with Uncle Ricky's is the best. I mean, because it's just the conversations with Rick Barnes are very different than conversations with other coaches, because he's coached for so long. He knows everybody, you know? I mean, it's like, you know, I had a conversation about him recruiting Jason Williams, you know, and just crazy stuff that he's been a part of for as long as he's coached. It's just very, you know, his stories are very different just because he's coached so long. So for me, it's Rick Barnes, because I find him extremely entertaining to talk to and visit. And that's not to say the other ones are not, but it's just he's got such a resume in his life that it's just totally different.
Well, and Britt also, he doesn't care. He's
no
old,
not at this point.
He's old and has made enough money and it does nothing wrong. He doesn't care for anybody looking in his trash or his or whatever. He just does not care. I mean, he will say stuff that, you know. And I'm not trying to say Josh or Tony are, you know, looking over their shoulder for because they're getting in trouble, but he just doesn't care. Rick does not care to you know, for somebody to, you know, check up on what he's saying, or like to if he's going to get in trouble. Because he's not going to say anything politically incorrect, or, you know, I don't mean that, but his level of you know what people are going to come back and you know. You know, check up on him. It's just not there like the younger guys. It's just I didn't do a good job of explaining that, but he has no filter, and it's because he doesn't worry about things the younger coaches worry about.
AP, you want to share any?
I like them all. They all have different qualities. as Hub said, Rick, you know, Rick can just sit there and chew the fat. I mean, it's like going to Floyd's barbershop and, you know, just telling stories. You know, Josh is a genuinely good human being, and you know, I have a lot of ton of respect for him. And then Tony, you know, Tony's kind of the maverick, and you know, Tony does a really good job of networking with people, donors, fans. You know, because baseball, you know, it's a little harder to get eyeballs on it. He's done a fantastic job of making it a factor for the fan base.
Yeah, and Tony also will say pretty much kind of what comes on to mind, and then he'll catch himself if he knows he shouldn't say that, and then kind of backtrack. And then when we turn off the cameras, he'll tell us exactly what he really thinks. Very emotional. But you're exactly right about that in terms of making connections and networking and all that. I mean, Tony's everywhere.
Well, I mean, look, that one of the highlights from the Auburn win was Tony's, you know, pointing to the Auburn kid after the connect dunk, because he's on front row right there in his Zakai Ziegler jersey. I mean, that's the one thing you say about the place. And Corey Tavias is early. I mean, the unity, I mean, everybody's pulling for everybody in the athletics department. And I know that sounds crazy, but I covered this place when that wasn't the case. You know, I've covered Tennessee where Jerry Green would go on Vol calls or whatever and make some comment about, you know, women's basketball and how he's just trying to hold up his end of the bargain. And it was not a genuine comment, right? Or he'd call football the elephant in the room and this, that, and the other. I mean, there was no harmony there. These guys are all pulling for each other, right? I mean, Rick Barnes, he's out there grilling hot dogs, you know, once basketball season's over at baseball games. And, you know, Josh Heupel's at baseball games and basketball games, and all of them are at football games. There's a genuine likeness and real pull for each other right now in the athletic department that's not always been there.
We'll go now to A. Griffey 03. Are you guys hearing any rumblings or rumors that football, men's and women's basketball, would be moving to the Jordan branch of Nike for this upcoming season?
I've not heard that. I've not checked. I need to check on where that Nike contract is at. I know it was extended a few years ago. I need to check and get an update on exactly where that is. But I have not personally heard that, AP. To be honest with you, I've not asked either. I've assumed that wasn't going to be the case, but I've not asked that question.
It wouldn't surprise me. At the same time, I think that, you know, that's something that I don't believe was, you know, that's in any way done either.
Let's go to Volunteer 87, Rob. I know it's currently unlikely that Tennessee's put in any top eight, that we get put with any top eight team other than Zona, regardless of who's the one or two. But can you rank Houston, Purdue, and UConn from the favorite to unfavorable draws based on the team's strengths and weaknesses?
I mean, I don't follow those teams as closely. I mean, you guys know this. I mean, when you cover a team, you see a lot less of the other conferences. So, I feel like I have, I mean, I probably know way too much about the SEC. I don't have a great feel for all the other leagues. I mean, you just don't get to watch them all that much. From what I have seen, I think UConn and Houston are the best two teams in college basketball this year. I don't pretend to know those teams intimately, but from what I have seen, I mean, I would rate UConn number one, Houston number two, and I know Purdue beat Tennessee, but from what I have seen of Purdue, I would rank Tennessee three, Purdue four.
I think this is going to be set up to be one of those seasons where, like, the Final Four is – you know what I mean? Like, it could come from anywhere. You think I'm wrong there, Rob?
No, not at all. But, again, I just want to be clear when you – I mean, take Saturday, for example. If Tennessee plays an away game, I don't see any college basketball except for – Tennessee, that, I mean, and nobody else does either that covers a team, you know, like, right, that. You leave home at noon to drive to Alabama, and you get to, you know, that's all you see is that. So you don't, it's not like my point being, I don't get to sit in the recliner and watch college basketball for 12 hours on a Saturday. Yeah. But from what I have seen watching, I think UConn's the best team. But again, I've probably seen three or four of their games in their entirety. So maybe I just caught them, you know, when they looked great. But to me, UConn and Houston look like the cream of the crop.
One of the many reasons why a lot of members of the media love noon kickoffs. I know fans don't, but you get in, you cover your game, you do all your post-game stuff, and then you can watch Night of Football without having to, you know, just work on something else. I mean, we have games pulled up and everything, but, I mean, our focus is the game and on our work. We're not, you know, that's kind of second nature. We got plenty more questions to get into. First, let's take a break and talk with our friends, our proud sponsors, and they can help you with a free consultation, a free estimate at 865-524-5888. That is Exterior Home Solutions.
You know, life happens, and damage to your home can be extremely stressful. That's why it's important to find someone who offers efficient, quality work with financing options. Exterior Home Solutions, they value not only family, but community. And they're who I call when life happens, and you should too.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Again, that phone number for Exterior Home Solutions is 865-524-5888, online at exteriorhomesolutions.com. Let's go next to NWGA VOL. Going into spring practice, who do you expect to generate the most buzz, excluding future Heisman winner Nico Iamaleava? Who's going to generate some buzz, AP, in spring practice?
I'm going to go Jermaid McCoy and I'm going to go Lance Hurd.
Yeah, I'm going to go newcomers. I mean, because I think that's what you're looking at. All your focus is on the newcomers, whether it's Boo Carter, whether it's McCoy, whoever it may be. I'm looking at a newcomer because that's what everybody wants to watch, right? That's what everybody's excited to see is what the newcomers can do. Because we've heard about him a little bit, but we didn't get to see him at bowl practice. So then we get a chance to see him a little bit. So give me a handful of newcomers that everybody's going to be talking about, and then we'll see come August who's a factor and who's not a factor out of those newcomers.
It's always a newcomer, freshman, a newcomer. Give me, you know, one of those. You know, give me Mike Matthews. Give me one of those freshmen. Maybe Boo Carter, and then give me Chris Brazel or Jermaid McCoy. I think is a great one because I think he's going to walk in and be a, you know, at least has the potential to walk in and be a day one starter in the second, the new look secondary. Rob, you got any names?
I would just say always a newcomer. I mean, I agree with you guys. Brazel, you know, Hurd. It will be some fresh face.
I'm gonna be real honest with you. Until we get out there and see Jalen McCullough's not patrolling at safety, I'm gonna assume he's back.
That's fair. Can't really argue that. Sam Smith, 2233's got a couple of questions. In your expert basketball opinion, who is the most important guy to stop for Kentucky on offense, Rob?
Dillingham, the guy that scored 35 on you last time. Just don't overthink it.
See here, Kane, do we see Russell in Tuscaloosa? Asking about AJ Russell in a little over a week out. What's your three look like? Any update on Stamos? All right, Stamos, I'll have to check about availability for the rest of this week at the time of this recording, but I mean, I know he wasn't going to pitch last week. Think he's going to be okay. They're just obviously being cautious. AJ Russell continues to work through his soreness. You know, we'll see. I'll ask Tony Wednesday night. I'm sure he won't say anything. I would be surprised if he pitched this weekend against Illinois. You know, I think that they're just going to be super cautious with him with the goal of having him ready to contribute and ready to go for SEC play. Even if he comes back and makes his first appearance against Alabama, it's not like he's going to go six or seven innings. But I would be surprised if he pitched this weekend, but we'll see. But again, he's nothing long-term. AJ Russell, Drew Beam, and I mean, right now that third starter, I honestly have no clue. I think for Tennessee to be as good as it needs to be, a freshman needs to step up and take that spot. But right now it's been a bullpen game on Sunday, so I seriously have no clue in the direction that they're kind of leaning right now. Last one, with umpires being more strict with the bat flips and extracurricular activities, do you think Tony needs or will tighten the leash on the boys in SEC play or let them be like they were in 2022, which ultimately came back to bite them? We were actually talking about this in the press box the other night. I mean, 2022 was a little overboard at times. I don't think that they sniffed coming close to that last year, and I don't think that they'll sniff coming close to that this year. I mean, there'll be excitement and bat flips and energy and all that, but I don't think anybody's going to be flipping anybody off rounding first base. I don't think that anybody will come close to the 2022 because that was just kind of on another level. So I don't think Tony will really have to do much in my opinion, but to answer your question, I don't think that it'll be close to the 2022 season in that regard.
Well, I want to see what umpires do too. You know, like this feels a little bit, Rob, like the start of a college basketball season where you got point of emphasis rules and all of a sudden you look up and it's a 4.5 hour game that they've called 74 fouls on, right? And every hand check is called and all these types of things. It feels like right now we're a little over the top with some of the throwing a guy out of the game for a bat flip and some of this stuff. I wonder if you kind of swallow that thing when you get into some of these intense conference games and you get, you know, in towards the postseason, like you see in basketball.
Yeah. I mean, that has been my thought exactly. Like it's early in the, you know, first couple of weekends of the season. Here's what we're looking for this year. You guys need to tone that down.
And if you look on social media, this is all Tennessee's fault still from 2 years ago. So that's funny as well. We'll go to volume shooter. Biggest question heading into spring practice. We kind of already talked about left guard and some of those other spots. Excluding Nico, who is going to be the guy Vol fans and media can't stop talking about coming out of spring practice? Who are we going to be talking about all the time coming out of spring practice?
I think it's just going to be about the depth of the defensive line. I think that's going to be the big takeaway is that Tennessee is going to be, you know, they're going to have so many bodies to work with on that defensive front that gives you the belief that they're going to be really, you know, get a chance to take yet another step on defense and continue to improve. So I think to me, that's going to be a takeaway is just how deep they are on the defensive front. I don't know that there's going to be one guy that everybody's just all of a sudden anointing anything when it's all said and done. But we've all been through that world where there was one guy, right, that he was supposed to be the next this, that, or the other AP, and you get into a game and it's a total different deal. So we're probably a little bit more cautious about that. I know I am than I was very early early in my career when you would fall in love with one guy based on something somebody told you or, you know, you just kind of take it all with a grain of salt, sort of see how it stacks up over time more than just 15 workouts.
Dante Thornton would be the perfect example of that.
Exactly.
The last person to live up to the hype, Matt Ray.
Speaking of Matt Ray, wish he was here to answer this one, but I guess we'll use UAP. Volin Beer 09 has a fun one for you. Better chance of landing which combination below? I'm just going to do this. Offensive line, will Tennessee get 3 of the 5 of this group? David Sanders, Jalen Matthews, Josh Petty, Andrew Babaloa, or Juan Gaston? Will Tennessee get 3 of the 5?
3 of the 5 tackles? I mean, if they do, man, I'm going to Vegas with Josh Eichel and Glenn Allerby. I mean, I think they will get 2 of those 5.
Okay, same.
I think
with
asking more than that is just – I just don't see it. That's me.
Same with this group of wide receivers. Will Tennessee get 3 of 5? Caleb Cunningham, Khalid Lockett, Jamie French, Cam Smart, Rodarius Jackson.
Much like the other one, I think they'll get 2. I don't know. I those other 3 are really coin flip type recruitments. I think Lockett will stay in the state of Texas. I mean, Tennessee's recruiting him. They're going to take a swing. You shoot your shot, right? You know, Jamie French, that's Tennessee or Ohio State. I would lean Ohio State. They've been really good at pulling kids out of that area of Florida. And Caleb Cunningham, I think that one's going to be a wild ride throughout the process. I like Tennessee there long term. I don't know why. I don't know anything. It's just a gut feeling. I think he's going to play up Mississippi State like he has been. I don't see him going to Starkville. I don't see him going to Oxford. I see him leaving the state. And so I don't know. I just feel like George McIntyre will continue to work that one throughout the process.
Our buddy Logan Barlow wants to know who is the most important person to Tennessee football success that doesn't
Logan
get
Barlow me- is.
that doesn't get message board attention.
I mean, does anybody know what the strength coach looks like?
Yes, I'm with you here.
Has anybody seen a quote from him in 3.5 years?
Nope.
You know? No, they have not.
So, I mean, to me,
I think that's pretty good. Whatever.
I mean, yeah. I'm not saying they're perfect in the strength and conditioning world, because some people will hear this and go, well, they've had a bunch of injuries here, they've had some injuries there, whatever. But they've gotten more physical. They've been in good shape. I mean, I don't think that you can look at this team and say, man, they just can't, you know, strength wise stack up with anybody or anything like that. So give me the strength coach.
But whether, for the whether, most part, you can say that about any successful.
I was going to say, whether they're good, even whether they're good or bad, they're still the most important.
That's true.
Even they're doing a bad job.
Yeah, right.
Let's go to GoVols 182. AP, Boo Carter is the best prospect out of Chattanooga area since who?
Von Bell.
Yeah, I was going to say, Von Bell's still in the NFL. You know, I mean.
Didn't mean to steal your thunder, AP, there. Von Bell.
No, you know, I mean, that's where I was going to go with it. I was sitting here trying to make sure that I wasn't overlooking anybody. But, I mean, again, as far as, like, you know, where he went to college, still in the league, you know, for that, Reggie White.
Dalval 5 wants to know, Rob, or he says, bet your life, a combo of Houston, Purdue, UConn, or the field in the NCAA tournament.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't bet my life, but give me the field.
You wouldn't die for this, Rob?
Well, I probably wouldn't bet my life on it.
Not committed. You're not standing on business.
No.
Goodness gracious. Athron's got a couple. We'll start with the hoops one. Will Josiah Jordan, James Santi, and Zakai Ziegler mean as much to UT basketball as Grant and Admiral did by the time they leave?
No. I mean, Grant's a two-time SEC player of the year. I mean, come on. I mean, I don't mean to be flippant or dismissive, but how many two-time SEC players in the year does this program have?
Not many. First and goal from the 5. You have to throw nothing but jump balls into the end zone for a touchdown to win the game. What current UT wide receiver Bradley. Are you throwing to? What'd you say?
Bradley. That's easy for me.
Yeah, that fits the length profile. Is Wright the first running back taken in the draft? And if so, how long does he have to wait to hear his name called?
I don't know if he's going to be first. There's a chance he couldn't be. We talked about it earlier. I think late second for early third round pick. I think the run on running backs is going to start mid to late second round, and then we'll go from there. I think there's too many offensive linemen, quarterbacks, receivers that are going to fall, are going to go ahead. And I think after the – you know, look, I mean, Bijan Robinson didn't do anything for the Falcons. Now, the Falcons have a lot of problems beyond Bijan Robinson, but they didn't even play him. Now our boy Jahmyr Gibbs had a really nice year for the Lions, but I'm not sure anybody's going to look and see, you know, early second round grades on where this running back class is. So I think the run on running back is going to come a little later in this draft.
It's your boy. You're wearing the Lions hoodie today. It's your boy.
I wear a hoodie every day.
Is that the Lions?
Nah, it's Nike. Still can't see Nike, but it's Nike, I promise.
I'm gonna throw my wild flower out there. Jalen Wright is going to surprisingly get drafted number 28 or 29 overall.
No. You also had Joe Milton potentially a first round pick back last summer.
No. Go back and review the tape.
First day pick.
Eric, we need to record that and use it like that.
Needs to be like pace of play problems. Can't afford it. All right.
That needs to be like
the
anti 50 cent
game. Tennessee won the number of games that I thought, but he did not play well enough to get in that.
I know. I know.
Eric, like when Tennessee is not going to get a recruit, you have to have AP going, no.
Hey, he's running on donut right, though.
If Tennessee won nine games, I figured they won nine in the bowl game, even though he didn't play in the bowl game. And he put up really good numbers. He had too big of a lull there in the middle of the year. But I said all that was coupled with him performing well at pro day and at combine, which, you know, he did perform well at combine.
I mean, I can't say anything. I carried water for the guy all year, man.
Yeah,
you
did.
No. I mean, that's our role.
All right, last one from Athron. Best play you've ever seen a Tennessee player make on the field?
Best play I've ever seen a Tennessee player make?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, trick plays.
The screen pass to Travis Stevens in 01, maybe the best play against Georgia, maybe the best play call I've seen. In terms of best play made, I mean, Juwan Jennings had a catch against Florida, whatever year that was. Butch beat Florida and Georgia in the same year and found a way not to get to the SEC championship game, where he caught the ball kind of behind the DB was face guarding him, and he caught the ball behind his back. It's one of the craziest catches that I've seen a guy make. That was a good play. I mean, Deion Grant, 98, Florida, where the Angels lifted him up so he could catch the interception, was his quote after that game. That was pretty good. I'm missing about a gazillion of them, AP.
I've got you one. Malik Foreman chasing down the running back from Texas A&M, punching the ball out, which gave them the ball back to go down and force overtime. Now, Tennessee blew the game in overtime. But that was – when you really go watch that replay and hit the hustle that he had, when it would have been easy just to say, nah, forget it. I mean, that was a really good football play.
That's a good point. Really good play. Jermaine Mashak, Rob, pretty good play in Tuscaloosa to come cross court and get the steal there. That was, you don't see those every day. That was a really good basketball play.
That was big time. I mean, there's so many of them run together. I mean, you guys have got to be this way. I mean, it's got to be pretty sensational to stand out.
Yeah. I mean, it's just
Joe Milton running out of bounds against Ole Miss. The time expires, not up there.
I don't know that I have a Joe Milton play in my top 3,000.
Jalen Hurd getting obliterated as he trotted in on that wheel route against Georgia and fumbling. Not in there.
All right. We got four more. Let's get to them. Let's have some pace here. Steven _ GD Fry says, with Addison Nichols gone and Mays being gone next year, who's going to play center? Is Lang the only other option there right now?
Yes, and I would say you'll see them go to the portal.
Which one of these freshmen can snap the football push? Can Max Anderson snap?
It would be William Satterwhite, I believe.
Satterwhite? Okay. Yeah, Satterwhite. Caden wants to know, what's everybody's prediction on how far Tennessee will go in the big dance? I know it all comes down to matchups, whatever. Rob, we'll start with you. How far is Tennessee
going
to go?
I'm going second weekend. Beyond that, you have to put a gun to my head. They will play the second weekend.
Yeah. I mean they should have a chance to go to the Final Four, but it's all going to be about the matchup. I mean, you know, you never know. It all depends on if you make shots that day. I mean, there's just – it's the NCAA tournament, because it's a one-and-done deal, is just a crazy crapshoot. I mean, it is. I mean, it's not to say it's – I mean, it's great drama. It's great entertainment, but it doesn't always yield the best team in the country being the champion at the end. It's about you being hot the right weekends and put yourself, you know, in a good favorable draw.
Tennessee's and I think been. It's – and Hubbard, I don't – I mean, maybe it's recency bias. I think it's getting more random. I think it's getting more random every year.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think part of that is because AP teams are shooting a three ball the way they are. So if you're a little bit tired – I mean, look at Alabama. Now, they played on a short turnaround, right? They lose to Tennessee on Saturday night, and they go play Florida. They didn't have any legs in their jump shots. I mean, you know, they shot the ball terribly. Everybody's dependent on jump shots out there in a lot of ways. So I'm with Rob. I mean, I think it's – who knows? I mean, you could see a sixth seed in the Final Four. It's not out – I mean, that's going to become more commonplace than it is an anomaly, I think, in a lot of ways.
I've got them getting bounced on the first day of the Final Four.
No, okay. Good caveat there.
All right, let's go to – Georgia Vol 82, have not heard much about Dante Thornton Jr. since the injury. Is there still hope he can be more consistent with better quarterback play, Austin?
Yeah, I mean, you know, about more confident outside. He's back healthy. He's good to go for spring.
And then the last question will go to Hunter. Austin loves to use the phrase tackle body. Can he or any of you guys expound upon that? Does it simply mean really tall guys with long arms, certain weight, et cetera? Yeah. I don't want to speak for you, Austin, but tackle body length, you want to have long arms.
Yep.
You have to have good feet because, again, you're out there kind of on an island. You got to be athletic. Whereas traditionally the more heftier guys would be kind of in the interior of the offensive line. I know football's changed a little bit where that's not always true, but for tackle, length, good feet, athleticism.
Arm length. I mean, if you can be 6'4 and play tackle, but you got to have freakishly long arms, right? I mean, like they want – if you're 6'5", you know, that's kind of the prototypical size. Anything taller than that's, you know, great. But, you know, again, it's all about length, arm length, you know, just length in general.
Speaking of that, AP, did anybody see our old buddy Amarius Mims at the combine?
Yep.
This week.
What? Turns out that was a mishap for the shuttle time.
I was talking about his you're talking about we're talking about AP's talking about arm length. He had the same wingspan as Giannis.
Is that good?
The only guy that got two programs in trouble, Tennessee and Florida State.
But not the one he played for.
But not the one, they did everything above board down there.
He got immunity. But he's got all the skill in the world.
Same wingspan as Giannis.
Everything's in front of him to go make and play the game as long as he wants to and make as much money as he wants to.
It's what we call a team player. Team player for sure. All right. Appreciate you guys sending in the questions here this week for the VolQuest Mailbag Podcast. Sorry we couldn't get to all of them, but as always, appreciate you guys for sending those in. Big thanks to our friends over at Exterior Home Solutions for allowing us coverage of this podcast. If you need help with roofing, a garage, siding, whatever the case may be, contact them today at 865-524-5888. No better time to join VolQuest.com right now. I know there's a lot of people that might be listening or watching this show that might not be members of the site, Brent, but if you join us over at VolQuest.com, you're getting exclusive coverage of Tennessee athletics that nobody else in the market can bring.
Yep, absolutely. Great interaction, discussion on the message board. You ask a question, you're going to get an answer. We're going to get discussion about it. Tons of things going on right now with baseball, basketball, spring football starts. We got a spring football series coming out next week as obviously conference tournament action starts. Baseball getting ready to start conference play as well. So plenty of great things going on. Great time to check us out.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if we don't answer your question, just make sure you bump it and tag it.
For Austin Price, Brent Hubbs, Rob Lewis, I am Eric Gay. Thank you as always for joining us here on the VolQuest Mailbag Podcast.
You've been listening to the VolQuest Mailbag Podcast every week right here on VolQuest.